Agenda item number 12. Mr. Giorli, this is pertaining to the recreational catch reporting.
Yes, just hors d'oeuvres at this point. We had a request for public hearing last month at the February commission meeting, and initially these had come to a public hearing at the December 2016 meeting, which was when we had done most of the changes, really tried to simplify the number of things that people, that recreational anglers and for-hire captains had to report for tilefish grouper, for trophy striped bass and charter striped bass, and we also established that cobia would go from voluntary to mandatory. And what had happened was, following that, we had gone out to some angling clubs to not only talk about these regulations, but the initial reason was to disseminate the results of a survey we had done of the voluntary cobia permittees, just to see what people thought of our system. And so between those different outlets and ways of getting feedback, there was considerable concern about the setup of the permit. So that's why we're back here, is to address whether or not we want to go from a bunch of permits per species just to one. So as I said, currently we have mandatory recreational reporting. Striped bass, private recreational anglers only have to report trophy-sized fish during the trophy season. So during that spring trophy striped bass fishery, private recreational anglers only have to report the striped bass that fall into the trophy size class, not any others if they don't want to. But charter captains and other for-hire fishermen have to report year-round for striped bass. We also have mandatory reporting for tilefish grouper, and since the December 2016 meeting, we've had it for cobia as well. Before that meeting, the tilefish grouper mandatory reporting requirements were pretty extensive. Striped bass was somewhat extensive. And so one of the big pushes was to just reduce the number of pieces of data that we were asking, basically enough data to get at total harvest in numbers of fish and just, you know, number of participants, how many trips you're taking. So as of now, it was only your permit number, date of trip, number of people on board fishing, and then the number caught and released. And then for striped bass, we had the rough spatial location of where those fish were caught, just because of the nature of the striped bass stock. So things like length and weight, any specific spots, bait, tide, things like that were all optional, whereas some of those things had been mandatory up until the 2016 public hearing we had. So what we're here for today is the fact that right now we have three permits for each of those fisheries. So if you were a charter boat, head boat captain, or guide of some sort, you would get the charter head boat permit. If you were a private recreational angler who owned his or her own boat, you would have a private vessel permit. And then anyone else, so, would have an individual permit, which could include people fishing from a pier or shore, some sort of man-made structure, or people who were on a boat that wasn't permitted. And so that obviously was a pretty specific instance. Obviously, it occurs, people going on their friend's boat, maybe fishing for something that the captain is not fishing for. And so all these little specific instances were what were guiding our decision-making when we first put these regulations through and requested these amendments to be made. But since then, we've heard sort of a pushback on that, saying, you know, what happens if I get two permits and I report for one of them but forget to report for the other one? You know, am I out of the fishery the next year entirely? Am I only barred from getting that single permit? And then there was just general concern about, well, this seems like a simple issue. Why do we have multiple permits? I'm fishing for the same fish. You know, what is really the goal of these permits? And so that was one of the main goals and one of the main reasons we had done this way in the first place, was to figure out how many people of each sector are fishing, how many charter boat captains are there, how many people are going out on their own boat, how many people are fishing from shore or from a pier. And we realized that that's the type of information that we can just gather on a per-trip basis. So, for example, our online saltwater journal, when you log into your account and say, I went cobia fishing, it'll ask you, what did you fish from? Was it a private boat? Was it a kayak? So that's the kind of information we can get regardless of what the permit looks like. And so then it's basically the debate we're having now is, do we want to have it specifically laid out for those people who may go fishing on their friend's boat, or do we want to just have it simple and just have one permit? So I think the compliance is probably the biggest issue, but another implication of this change, if it were to go through, is that the burden of reporting would be put on the captain or operator of the vessel. So we've been, once people found out about this change that might go through, they said, well, what happens if I'm fishing on my friend's boat, I have a permit and the captain doesn't? You know, if this change were to go through and we have just one permit per species, it would be the responsibility of the captain or operator to have that permit. And you know, it's a no-cost permit. It's relatively easy to get, especially if you have a computer with internet access. It's quite easy to get. And so this is one of those trade-offs where obviously no system is going to be perfect. But we've also had some complaints from some of our MRC licensing agents, the people who would, in addition to the online platform, our licensing agents from around the state would be able to administer these permits. And we had a concern from one of them about if people come and try to get a permit on the weekend, it's difficult for staff to validate their vessel number, which is just something that is usually done by our licensing department. And so there were people were very nervous about how they would be able to administer permits on the weekend. And so another benefit of collapsing these permits is it removes the dependence on the vessel. And we've had a lot of debates about whether or not it's valuable to have the vessel number, because some people say, well, that can tie it to the person who holds a permit. But everyone who gets a permit also gets a VMRC ID number, just like any other commercial harvester. So there are ways to identify. But in this situation, it would just be the captain or operator. If they have the permit, everyone on the vessel is covered, but that also means the captain or operator has to report for everyone on the vessel. So the goal is that this is going to be more intuitive for the anglers and perhaps reduce the number of redundant reports we may get. So if there are multiple permittees on a boat and it's not clear in regulation who has to report, then we may get two reports and not be able to separate them out. So this, as long as we make it clear that only the captain or operator is the one who reports, then we should theoretically, on staff side, be getting fewer reports that might be redundant, which obviously the last thing we want to do is say that we have more harvest than we really do. So that's the goal. I have to point out one exception to this would be the striped bass fishery. So because striped bass has different reporting requirements depending on the type of fishing, I think it would be confusing for users to have different reporting requirements, even though it's the same permit. So charter boat captains and guides have to report all year round, have to report every striped bass, whereas private recreational anglers only have to report trophy-sized fish during the trophy season. So it would probably add more confusion to try and put both of those scenarios under one permit. So the solution to that would be just having two permits for striped bass and one for the others. It does sort of go against the initial will of FMAC and the goal of staff to make everything as simple as possible, but staff feels that it's a concession that might need to be made in order to make the permitting itself easier for those other two fisheries. So with that being said, staff recommends the commission approve proposed changes to the permitting and mandatory recreational reporting requirements for spring trophy striped bass fishery and the charter striped bass fishery, Chapter 4 VAC 20-252-10, Tilefish grouper fishery, Chapter 4 VAC 20-1120-10, and the cobia fishery, which falls under Chapter 4 VAC 20-510-10 at sea. And these changes, as I said, include collapsing the permit for tilefish and grouper and for cobia down to one permit. So it would be the tilefish grouper permit, it would be the cobia permit, and then there would be two permits for the striped bass fishery, charter headboat striped bass permit, and then private recreational permit. And the last implication of this is that it would establish that only the captain and operator reports for everyone on the vessel, regardless of who else may or may not be permitted. So if there are any questions, I'll gladly field them. If there are any questions about the wording of the regulation or any concerns, we could go through that if need be.
Let's let Chief O'Reilly jump in here.
I have one item to bring forward, and for Mr. Hull, and the Regulatory Review Committee did review these regulations. We did have a meeting, and that helped a lot because this is our second time around for these regulations. But I noticed when Ryan was speaking, if you could turn to page 6 of 27 in the striped bass regulation and towards the bottom. We define the Bay and Coastal Spring Trophy striped bass recreational fisheries, and then in paragraph G, all of a sudden we're identifying trophy-sized striped bass. Now, initially we say it's 36 inches, but I think it may be a non-substantive improvement to actually define a trophy-sized striped bass, since that language is used on page 6 and page 7. And we wouldn't want any confusion for someone to say, well, we weren't sure what was meant by a trophy-sized striped bass, even though, if you look at page 6, the minimum size limit is 36 inches. So my question is, would that be an improvement to this regulation that might be a benefit?
So you're saying add a definition to the definition?
A definition which starts after the last definition, I think, is on page three. And the last one would be to identify what a trophy striped bass size is, which would be 36 inches in total length or greater.
I don't think it's substantive, so I don't think it'd be a problem to do that.
Good.
I mean, so, if you think it would improve it and the understanding of it, then that's fine.
Good. Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission for staff or observations?
I have an observation. I want to thank staff for the work you put in on this. Particularly, thank you for coming out and speaking to the anglers, taking your nights off and coming out and visiting us. And listening to us and making these changes. So it's much appreciated.
Questions from the commission? This is a public hearing. Anybody in the audience wish to be heard on this matter, please come forward. Captain, how are you doing?
Good. Yes, sir. I first of all, again, I want to applaud the commission and the
will you please take
this is Bob Reed, charter boat captain out of Reedville. And a couple things. First of all, I want to applaud everyone here that took part in this, getting this reporting. This is something that I've been looking for 14 years, and I think it's really important, particularly after what we've seen in the cobia fishery and the problems with the numbers. And the second thing about this reporting, I have a unique business. I take people out on their boats. A lot of these people are from out of state, Georgia, Alaska, and New York.
Do you make sure they spend all their money here before they leave?
Yes, sir.
Governor McCullough, thanks.
Okay. Well, the other thing, I talked to the staff on this a couple of weeks ago. I forget the gentleman's name, and that's working on this reporting program. And there's no provision for what I do. It's difficult for somebody in New Jersey or Georgia to be able to get a permit. And I'm not looking for a resolution to this. I just want the staff to take another look at it, that I could do the report. Have the permit. I have both permits, a boat permit for cobia and individual. Some way that I could do the reporting and be the responsible person, even though I'm not the boat owner. Thank you. Any questions?
Sir, any questions?
All right. Thank you.
I think you're working on a resolution as you speak.
Thank you very much.
I have a comment again. I mean, the permit would be tied to you. And on that day, you are the captain of that boat. And so as long as it's reported and someone on that boat has a license, which would be you, they can work the technicalities, but I think you're good.
So what you're saying, I don't have to have them go through the rigmarole of getting a permit.
Thank you. Someone on the boat has a permit and reports.
Okay.
VMRC pulls you over and says, we got a COBIA permit, and you whip your COBIA permit out. That's going to be really good.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. French, welcome. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Jonathan French. I'm here from Falls Church, Virginia. I wanted to thank the staff. I was one of the voluntary permit folks last year, signed up, and I shared some concerns about how intuitive the process was, particularly with whether or not when we got to a mandate situation, it was required to report unsuccessful trips. I believe those provisions are being accounted for, and I certainly hope so, and if that's the case, I thank them for being responsive and cooperative. The other piece of this component, and I think we'll hear it more in our later discussion, but the importance that the information derived from this reporting is made as transparent as possible, especially whatever factor quotient is put in assuming non-reporting for a segment of the population, which I realize is against the rules, but that will be factored in to the statewide catch data that is then reported to South Atlantic. And we also strongly encourage the commission and the staff, if that information runs contrary to MRIP's numbers, to use our data as an alternative data source and present it as best science available. That's all.
French, I can tell you, I can guarantee you that that's going to happen. Staff works very hard on these things, and we want the numbers to be able to make sure we can make cogent arguments when others don't have the right numbers.
Excellent.
And that's the point.
And we'll be highlighting some of those MRIP issues here shortly. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. French. Anybody else want to discuss this matter here about reporting? No? All right. Matters the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion is and action.
Move to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Neal to accept staff recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Kellum. Any discussion? One piece of discussion. Mr. Jorley did a great job here. Thank you. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Very happily, the motion passes unanimously.